With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
So Byer Sinone, even though you can't tweet video, will you have FSU Twitter at your neck at least one more time before the season starts?
Before the season starts, that's about 2 weeks.
Without the ability to do video, can you still piss them off?
Yeah, I'll do something. The video really helps with that, but I'm sure I'll do something before then. Yeah, I'll buy. That's a hard buy for me.
Welcome to On the Bench. I'm Josh Newberg. Got Chris Nee and Brendan Sinone here with me. Together, we are the guys from Noles 24/7. Today, we have a special episode of On the Bench. It's the 2021 Noles 24/7 FSU Draft. It'll be taking place today, and it should be a thrill. What's up, guys? Chris, you were out at practice today. Everything good on your end?
Yeah, it was a very special teams-like day out there today. If you like special teams like Bob, you loved it.
Brendan, how are you holding up?
I'm great. I didn't have to go out there today to watch an hour and a half of special teams, so I've recharged, refreshed, and ready to go.
All right. Well, before we get into the exciting Noles 24/7 team 2021 draft, we got some news to cover. There's a little bit of news that came out between this pod and the last one. The main storyline being that the big country era at Florida State is over. Josh Griffiths, part of the 2020 class, no longer a part of the team. Brendan, you broke the story on Noles 24/7. What are you hearing?
So earlier in the day, it was kind of funny how it all unfolded, but earlier in the day, I heard from a source that Josh Griffiths was one of two players who were unhappy with playing time. And started thinking back to it, and I was like, I don't think he was there at practice that day, and he may not have even been there the day before. And I come to think of it, it's tough to keep track of all the guys. There's so many coming and going, and for different reasons. But anyways, Josh Griffiths wasn't there, and I thought of that, and I thought it was strange. And then actually, Bud had kind of floated out there that Josh Griffiths probably wasn't with the team anymore. So I reached out to FSU, checked with the spokesperson to ask what was up with Josh Griffiths. And I was told he's no longer with the program. Verbatim, that's what they said. Josh Griffiths is no longer with the program. So we went with the story, ran it. There was a little bit of controversy that occurred in the few hours of that reporting.
Do tell. Let's get into the controversy.
Basically, Josh Griffiths' mom responded to my tweet announcing that FSU confirmed that he was no longer with the program and said that's not true. And then a couple hours later, he was officially no longer visible on the roster, removed from the roster, however you want to say
it. So you guys had an old-fashioned source war.
Yeah, I guess so. My source was FSU and a team spokesperson, which I guess a lot of people...
Who do you think her source was? She needs to get better sources.
It's an odd spot. I don't want to get in a fight with a parent publicly or at all, really. There's not really a whole lot to gain from it.
I don't think there was a fight. You didn't respond.
I didn't respond.
Nor should you.
No, there's nothing to gain from it. There was nothing to gain from it. It wasn't really a big deal because, again, FSU saying he's not on the roster, he's not with the team. I was waiting it out for a little bit for him to actually be removed from the roster, and sometimes that just takes a couple hours for it to actually show up after they put it in the system. So it wasn't a big deal, but for some on Twitter, it was for a little bit. I do feel bad. Like, I don't want to have information out there before a parent really knows about it. But I honestly think that Josh wasn't really sure about that his actions potentially had led to him being removed from the team for good. I don't think he quite grasped that initially.
But why is he removed from the team?
So there's a lot of rumors going around it, and I know it's been floated out there. It had to do with FSU trying to get to the 85% threshold for vaccination. I can't confirm that. I don't feel comfortable reporting that and saying that's the case. Maybe it's related, but what I'd say is that I cannot deny it either. What I can say confidently is that he was not happy with his role, with his playing time. you know, FSU started to break out into scout teams this week. And I think Griff has had an indication that, he was probably going to be closer to a scout team guy than a two deep guy. And ultimately, I don't think he was happy with that. And I think both
sides. Isn't that the way you guys saw it anyway, with the way practice has been shaken out and the way the reps have been going? I mean, the writing's kind of been on the wall for that, right?
Yes. I mean, the defensive end group, there's guys that they know they like, you know, Jermaine Johnson, Marcus Cushney as a reserve, Keir Thomas on the other side, Quayshon Fuller as a reserve.
McClendon even.
Yeah, but McClendon's even the next tier. Like, those first four guys are really contributing.
No, I just meant McClendon was probably
but above. But a guy like Patrick Griffiths. Payton had already passed over Griffiths. Griffiths wasn't going to play here. They're going to recruit over him. They're going to continue to recruit over him. It is what it is. I wish a young man well at the next stop.
Okay. And then we had one more departure. Brendan, this one hits close to home for you. You want to talk about it?
Does the 407, Brandon Bam Moore, the former UCF cornerback, multi-year starter for the Knights, won a national championship with UCF in 2017. He transferred.
The Golden Knights won a championship?
It's not the Golden Knights. That's not accurate.
And neither is their national championship.
I cannot confirm or deny that. So Brandon Moore came here in the spring. He was coming off of a serious knee injury, much like Mackenzie Milton, not quite as severe, but one that had limited him and kept him out all the 2020 campaign. You know, he looked okay at times this spring, and some of the feedback that we had got actually looked pretty good at times. Very physical, willing to kind of stick his nose in there and be a good player in open field tackling a regard. But you know, we had gotten word, Josh, that he wasn't 100%. And FSU, I don't think, was sure that he was going to be 100% post-injury. Again, he had the year off. It was a pretty bad knee injury. Had maybe lost some of his twitch and athleticism. Regardless, I think he was someone who was going to contend and push to be in the two deep during the season. He was certainly talented enough, and he did enough things well. He's tall, he's long, and he's was able to create tight passing windows for quarterbacks. And again, physical. He was able to do all those things, had experience, so he was going to be valuable. But was told he had some personal issues. He returned home back in Orlando and was given the opportunity to come back onto the team when the time was right for him. And he basically declined and said he wasn't comfortable doing that. He needed to be closer to home. So that's kind of how it ended. He's in the transfer portal now. I know some UCF people are thinking he's going to end up back at UCF with a new coaching staff. I don't know that for sure. But the Brandon Moore era ends pretty quickly after just several months at Florida State.
All right, Brendan. So that opens up two scholarships, right? What's your offensive tackle transfer board look like?
No, that's not accurate. That's not how that works. Unfortunately,
okay, a lot of people do have that question, though. Yes. A lot of people do have that question. So why don't you explain it?
So basically, once they practice, I believe this semester, and both Josh Griffiths and Brandon Moore did practice for at least a week or two. Well, I don't know if Bam practiced for a week or two, but he practiced at least once. That's all that matters. He practiced. They were on scholarship, both of those guys. Their scholarships are no longer you can't replace
done,
them. You can't refill them.
2021. That's it.
Basically, yeah. Until you get to the winter semester, those scholarships are spent. So yeah, you can't replace them with anyone. There's no unicorn offensive tackle out there. I don't know if there's anyone out there anyways you could really use a scholarship on. But even if you could, that's not going
to
happen.
Sorry, I mean, guys. And even if there was, like, they'd have to come in and learn the system. These guys have been learning the system since they arrived in the spring, talking about some of the transfers that came in, you know. It's unfortunate, but attrition happens. That's why you carry 88 scholarship players versus the NFL.
Yeah, FSU's at 88 scholarships currently. From my count, we give or take one or two, because FSU doesn't like us counting scholarships and won't confirm.
Is this a big hit to depth? Two experienced guys. I mean, it's not like they're freshmen.
Go ahead, Chris, with the cornerback room. Yeah, not really.
I think they prepared in the cornerback room to have the potential of attrition. They wanted to have more numbers than they had a season ago. They have that still. Bam was going to be a reserve piece who might be used sparingly here and there, maybe help on special teams, but I don't think it's a big hit.
I think he would have played probably 200 snaps or so. Like, I think he would have been someone who would have helped out, especially against teams that like to do like a lot of perimeter screens or helped out a lot in run support against a run heavy team. So I think he would have helped out for sure.
Yeah,
I don't think it's a
depth. Best value was definitely ahead of him, playing forward.
Moving ahead. Yep.
So
okay. Yeah. We'll move on from that. The other bit of news, it's kind of a bombshell, but this didn't even make our Knowles 24/7 group chat. So I don't know, either we're not interested in this or it's not big news, but there was an alliance announced.
I was living on the island by myself.
I would like to correct it.
Alliance.
Yeah. we were interested. Chris Knee was very, very.
He put it in the group chat?
No, because I know none of you guys care. Me and Sinone had talked about it a bit at practice that it was coming later that day at 2 p.m.
Real quick, he'd called me at one point to vent about it, and I wasn't able to pick up the phone, and I think he was over by the time it was done.
I sat through a 37-minute press conference where literally nothing was said. Then it was a kumbaya, we love each other. We looked each other in the eyes, and no contract here. This is going to work great.
The Pac-12, the Big Ten, and the ACC have come together for an alliance. Chris, like you said, you sat through the press conference, so express to all of us what this actually means.
Well, at this point, it just is literally as simple as an alliance. It's a voting block without saying it's a voting block because that would be an antitrust issue. But in reality, it's a voting block. It's a response to the SEC going and scooping up Texas and OU. And as somebody wrote at CBS Sports, Big 12's on the wrong side of moat. You know, we got a big old moat, and it's getting wider, and the Big 12's over there, and the other four are trying to hang out over here. One's by itself as a super conference, and the other three are trying to hang on. Now, the hope with this is that it brings about some scheduling interest for football, men's and women's basketball, and potentially other sports, but more so focused upon those three. But the issue there is they don't intend to void current contracts. So, for example, with FSU, most of their future contracts are locked up pretty solidly, I think, through 26. So we're not saying
2027 was maybe the first time I thought maybe it could get impacted. Yeah.
So, like, it's cool. I mean, FSU playing USC would be fantastic. I had the opportunity to see that back in the day. Some of that would be cool, and that's a potential thing. But the issue is when they made the announcement, they can't make any of those kinds of announcements. So the announcement was kind of hollow, and I think it left people wanting more. And it got pretty openly mocked, and I think it sort of deserved to be. I mean, there were some missteps, in my opinion, of how it was talked about. The no contract, no nothing official when it's a business where everything ever done is official was kind of funny. And, you know, we're trusting guys like Kevin Warren, who screwed it up royally a year ago with almost canceling the Big Ten season, to be one of the three main spearheads of this 41-school alliance. I'm hesitant to really think it's going to be successful. I mean, tomorrow the Pac-12 is going to make a decision – potentially about expansion, when the idea for Jim Phillips, the ACC commissioner, regarding the ACC being part of this is stability and to avoid the domino effect. So, like, I feel like it could be all blown up by the end of Friday. It may not be, but it could be. I don't know. I get the idea. And it's a weird time in college athletics. Governance, you know, from the NCAA standpoint, has completely gone away. This is trending towards the A5 and them controlling themselves and doing what they need to do. And trying to figure out everything that's going on with name, image, likeness, some of the recent Supreme Court rulings, things like that, and trying to be on the same page. And I think that right now, you know, the hope, the ACC's hope in being part of this with the Big Ten and with the Pac-12 is that they can have some symmetry in trying to resolve some of those issues, figure out how to go forward, then maybe have the scheduling thing down the road. They said it wasn't about money. This is college athletics. Everything is about money. So, you know, we'll see if there's anything there. But the truth is the ACC's trying to avoid a slow death by a grant of rights deal that's a, you know, an anchor dragging them down to the bottom of the ocean with no chance of getting back to the surface till 20, 35, 36, whenever it is exactly now, 15 years down the road.
Right.
So, the alliance was, truthfully for me, sitting there listening to it, reading it, you know, talking to some people involved in it, I get some of the ideas of it, and I do hope it does bring about better governance than we've had in the NCAA in recent years, because there's been downright none, and it's a current time where there needs to be some. But, yeah, and saying it's not a response to the SEC is just downright foolish because, well, you guys never picked up the phone and had this conversation before the SEC went and poached two powerhouses from another conference, basically dissolving the power of that conference. You know, that's why we're here. That's why we're doing this, so – I don't know. I thought the messaging was poor. I'm a big believer in the way you launch something with messaging usually kind of proves the way direction it's going to go. And I feel like this launched on pretty shaky ground personally.
Yeah, this is what I said when this whole thing, when the dominoes started falling, I thought there was going to be two mega conferences. And I kind of still think this is a step in that direction. Having been through and covered conference realignment with USF in 08, 09, 2010, and just seeing how things move and shift. It's kind of like continents, you know, coming together. And I think that when we take a step back, maybe in 20 years and look at this, like this is the first step in the two team super conference. This is my theory. Like this is my conspiracy here that we're going to end up with two super conferences that battle it out for the national championship. And I think this is the first step in that direction for it, because it's going to be one super conference, which is the SEC or whatever they're called in the future. And then it'll be this super conference, which is the basically the Pac-10, Pac-12, Big Ten, and ACC. So yeah. I think it's a step in that direction. But I think we're so far away from it, which is probably why it didn't really register too much with us.
I feel like the Big Ten got in this because they're a power holder. They're the number two, number one revenue conference. They're right there. The SEC currently, future projections have the SEC exceeding them. But
they need some beef to keep up.
Right, and they're in a similar spot. And having the ability to have TV games in all time zones and the potential of 4 million viewership type games for non-conference games, that's beneficial when it comes time to renegotiate TV contracts. The Pac-12's in this because Pac-12's in an interesting spot because I think they're about 3 years out right now from a new renewal of their TV contract. That's all going to be very, very interesting and going to be a major next thing in college athletics from a TV revenue money. And also the most, you know, the thing that's immediately in front of us that this involves is the end of September decision vote reconvening on the college football playoff. And obviously there needs to be some parameters, some margin handling with that to figure out what that means for the future, because you don't want a 12-team playoff where one super conference has half the teams in it gobbling up, you know, half the revenue of what that creates. Well, another conference or two is basically left in the cold. That's a major revenue situation that I think scares the living heck out of a certain conferences. I think the ACC's main reason for getting in this is, one, I think Jim Phillips is a big believer in governance and the need for there to be some unity on that. And secondly, I think it was also stability. They don't want the idea of schools being yanked away or trying to yank schools away and creating a whole new shift in realignment. But we're working towards that eventually, ultimately, at some point down the road. It, you know, they keep finding ways to kind of halt it. Grant of rights deal for the ACC halted that for the ACC when they agreed to that years ago. But it's always going to come back because we are trending towards 2, 3, 4 super conference, you know, whether it's 12-game regular season, 5-game playoff type of seasons, whatever it is. I mean, there's a lot of schools that are concerned about the potential of playing 17 games in a season with the new playoff structure. I think UNC voiced that. I think Clemson voiced that, if I recall correctly, in late July, the ACC kickoff, for example. And those are two schools that are in that discussion this year. Certainly one of them has been consistently in that discussion for 5 years now. So there's a lot of stuff like that that they need to figure out. And the issue is the people in Indianapolis have decided to just keep taking money without actually doing anything. And that's not working. So I think the ACC is hoping this might be a way to work towards some results with that.
All right. Thank you, Chris. But who cares? Because it is now time for the Knowles 247 FSU Team 2021 Draft. We have the landing stickers on one side. We have the box checkers on the other side, and we are now going to decide it. Here's the rules, fellas. One of you is going to pick first and fourth. The other is going to go second and third. Then we go back and forth. So whoever second and third goes 5, 7, 9, et cetera. Whoever goes 1 and 4 goes even numbers once we get to 6th. Okay.
Seems pretty clear.
Real simple directions, right, Brendan?
I should have listened.
You asked me to explain it to you. You asked.
I heard 1 and 4, and somebody else is 2 and 3.
Brendan
says 4 becomes 6, and then 8, and then 10.
And I knew this was going to happen. But
I wasn't paying attention. I don't know why you read it verbatim. You should have said it in a way that a normal person would understand.
All right, ready?
That's not my fault.
Because I don't like rules at all. But here we go.
Just be the commissioner, Josh.
So there's going to be real quick. There's going to be 24. We're going to have 24 picks each. So we need to feel too deep, and we'll have extra depth pieces as well. We did this last year, too. I don't know if we want to go over those teams from last year. They were pretty awful. None of us drafted Jordan Travis.
You want to go over your top 40 countdown?
No.
Talking about awful. Hey, guys, look what I got.
Oh, big board!
Yep, I got the whiteboard.
All right, Josh, who's up first? Who goes one?
We're going to flip a coin. Pick it. Heads or tails?
I got heads.
All right, tails. Chris has heads. Tails it is. All right, tails it is. All right, the landing stickers go first and fourth. All right, who are the landing stickers taking?
With the first overall pick of the 2021 on the bench draft, the landing stickers will select Pass rusher extraordinaire, Georgia transfer, Jermaine Johnson. Ooh. Defense wins championship.
He's going with defense. He's really trying to win a championship here, Chris. How are you going to counter?
I will go with my first pick for me, second pick overall. I'll go Devontae Love Taylor. Give me that versatility on the offensive line. And for my next pick, I'll go with Maurice Smith because he's the only person I trust on this team to actually snap the ball.
Okay, so Chris clearly is putting together an offense here, starting in the trenches first. Brendan, you're up next. So,
yeah. All right, so fifth, correct? All right. Chris is fourth. Chris is using the same strategy I had last year where I just loaded up on offensive linemen and made him start Chaz Neal. It's a hell of a thing.
FAU, baby.
That ended up costing him the season, by the way.
I had James Blackman and Tate Rodemaker as my quarterbacks. He had Chubba Purdy, who played in one game. So, two games. Sorry. Anyways, I will stick with, he wants to go in the trenches on one side. I'll stick with the trenches on my side. I'll go with Kier Thomas. He's been awesome in preseason camp.
You're so predictable.
I got my – thank you. I'm just going with value.
So predictable.
All right. Now
Dennis Briggs.
Wait, now it's Chris's turn? Is that how we're doing this? Okay.
Now you.
Hold on. Now, I will say I think the value with Chris's pick, taking Briggs off the board here, is actually probably better. I would have probably taken Briggs before Thomas, but go ahead.
Okay, there's still two starting caliber defensive tackles left on the board, so you're wrong.
You're losing it here.
Hey, I'm not on the clock yet. Real quick, I want our listeners to know who listened to On the Bench. Thank you. We are on YouTube, so you can actually see Josh's big board right now as he's drawing this down. If you're listening, you can
I got
watch
the
it.
Whiteboard out. I'm
very, very clearly going to run out of room.
Brendan, you're supposed to be running the highlights over each pick.
You
have the highlight package.
No, I was trying to look how to do that earlier. That's
and Zach's in the background to act like Kuiper.
All right, where are we at now?
All right, I will take. It's my pick, right?
Yeah, the landing stickers are.
Keep up, Sinone.
All right, I will go with offensive tackle Robert Scott. Fortify the trenches.
I'll go Fabian Lovett.
Oh, damn it.
Love it. I love it, Chris. You got to love it with Lovett. That's the value pick right there.
That's a good one. So I'm.
Brendan, continue to reach.
Let's see. I didn't actually put together a big board like last year because I realized
don't get booed.
Useless experiment. I will go.
Pick a
nervous.
Starter.
I'm nervous. This is a big pick. I think this is a swing pick. I'm going to go with quarterback Jordan Travis.
Ooh.
Mackenzie, no, you're cheating on him.
He knows
this
it's
not going to go over well.
He knows it's not personal. I'm making up for last year, not drafting Jay Travis.
All right, so we got one quarterback off the board.
I'm going with Travis Jay because he brings value on special teams as well as defense, and he can live on that island and thrive.
And didn't he play quarterback?
Yeah, hey, why not? No worse than my quarterback situation last year.
I believe when he signed him, Willie said he was going to play him at quarterback.
And look how that turned out.
We're still waiting on that promise to be fulfilled. I'll grow my hair out once Travis Jay starts.
Did Willie ever sign a – he never got to sign a high school quarterback, did he, at FSU?
We should bring him back one more year.
That's why you don't have hair anymore.
All right. Brandon, you're up.
Chris actually had Travis Jay as his backup quarterback last year. You know what? I think FSU is going to go with a two quarterback system this year. I want to remain true to that. Mackenzie Milton, come on down.
We're done. Look at this team. And there's also the chance that neither of these guys might.
Chubba Purdy has looked pretty good. Now, Chris, if you want to trade Mackenzie
Milton, no, we're not trading in the middle of the draft.
I will trade. I'm just saying.
This is why
he could have taken him if he wanted him.
God, I hate drafting with you.
God. Do you draft to build the best team, or do you draft to limit Chris's team?
So,
we'll see. We'll let the fans decide at the end.
It's very Bear Bryant of you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right, Chris, what
you got? Well, since I am stuck drafting one of those guys as quarterback, we will wait on that pick. That might be 24th pick material, unless somebody's going to draft four quarterbacks over there.
I mean, they're all up for trade.
I'll go with Darius Washington.
Oh,
look at you. I love it. He can play guard. He can play tackle.
What a great pick by Chris. All right, to you, Brendan.
I feel like Josh just likes Chris's picks to irritate me.
No, not at all. Just
objectively. No, of course not. You know what? I need a little bit more experience in the trenches. I'm going to go with Dylan Gibbons, the Notre Dame transfer.
Personally, maybe would have gone to Bavion, but, you know.
you would have taken him first overall.
Josh's dude.
It's the landing stickers. All right, box checkers, you're up.
I'll go Jayshon Corbin.
Ooh, I like it. He can play a little Wildcat. A lot of value there, Chris. Brendan, you're up.
Going to roll the dice here. A little boomer bust, but you know what? That's what we're in the game for. Andrew Parchment at wide receiver, please.
I'm told he does not want to play for you.
You could also do a little MC in action too if you know, we need some versatility there. You can drop.
I'll treat my running back room like Sinone treats his quarterback room. I'll go LT.
Loading up here with playmakers.
Best running back on the team is still on the board.
All right, landing stickers to you.
King of the spring. I will go with
You weren't strong here on the D-line. Now Chris's D-line might be stronger than yours, but go ahead.
I'm going to go with the Swiss pocket army knife on defense, Amari Gaynor.
Oh, that's a value pick at that spot.
Do a little pass rush if needed. Move Keir Thomas inside. Kind of gives me some options, which I think is going to be helpful later on down the road here. Team together.
Box checkers, how do you answer?
I'll go Malik McClain.
Look at Chris. Can we change his team name to the Playmakers?
It's an offense made for playmakers, built for playmakers, in fact.
Who needs a quarterback when you have all these playmakers?
It's true. Just throw it up there. Travis Chase is going to throw the ball up there and let his playmakers go make plays. I like it.
Well, you know, most people don't expect somebody to draft two quarterbacks back-to-back in their, fifth and sixth picks?
It's an important position, Chris. What do you want me to do about that?
All right. Who's up? I believe
the landing stickers are on the clock. No, I don't
know. We're like halfway not through. Even halfway.
Oh, okay. We got to speed this up because my ADD is kicking in. All right. Who you got after Amari Gaynor?
Big Robert Cooper's still around. I need a defensive tackle. I need a space eater. I got it. We're good.
Big Coop.
Keyshawn Helton for me, Josh.
All right. Keyshawn Helton. Oof. Again, another playmaker, another veteran.
Value pick.
All right, Brendan, you're up. Landing stickers. You just drafted Big Coop. Who are you going to tear him up with?
I really think you got to get to the quarterback. And even if Chris doesn't have one yet, eventually he will. I'm going to get Marcus Kushney. I need depth on the defensive line.
Big Kush.
I'll go Dante Lucas. And the most surprising pick to myself in this preseason draft.
Dante Lucas, so now you are fielding a offensive line made up of DLT, Maurice Smith, Darius Washington, and Dante Lucas. That is quality.
Okay. Not bad.
So you're Robert Scott.
I guess
good,
I have.
Good luck snapping the ball over there, kids.
Oh, you got Gibbons as well.
Gibbons can probably
snap. Maybe time to take that baby on pick.
If the guy hasn't been taken yet.
I'm not drafting two centers.
I mean, there's only two who can snap currently on the roster. Let's see. I will go with
plenty of room on the board.
I know. This silence is great for podcasts. I mean,
you can just pick somebody.
This is an important pick. You know what? I think he's been this. I don't know.
All right, Chris, you're going to have two picks.
No,
right? I can still pick?
Ontario Wilson. Pokey Wilson. I need a wide receiver. He's been solid for this preseason.
I'll go with DJ Lundy.
Nice.
That's a good pick.
A lot of talk out of him in the spring. A great value pick there in the middle of the draft. Good job, Chris. To you, Brendan.
Let's see. Has anyone taken? No, I'm going to take Jordan Wilson. I want a smash mouth offense. I need a big blocker.
That's a reach. I think you're going to end up playing him at offensive tackle.
Well, I need an offensive tackle.
Wow, this team is struggling.
I'll go with Kalen DeLoge.
Okay, another big name that we're hearing out of the spring. Is it hype or is it real? We're going to find out when he lines up for box checkers. Why don't you draft an assistant coach or something here?
Let's see.
Brendan, when he's picking, you figure yours out. Like right now, Chris has his next three lined up ready.
I will go with Jamie Robinson.
Thank you. Jamie Robinson.
I'll go with Jarvis Brownlee because unlike Sinone, I love him.
Oof.
I got evil on me.
He'll probably play really well for you too.
Just to spite me.
You got Kevin Knowles?
Oh, I do love me some Kevin Knowles.
You're building that secondary.
I do love me some backwards. Kevin Knowles. What? You know what? Oh, damn, I can't take him.
I would have taken Kevin Knowles over Jamie Robinson.
I don't necessarily agree with that because I took Jamie Robinson ahead of him. Because Jamie Robinson can play safety or slot corner.
Kevin Knowles has more years available.
Well, this is just for one
season.
It's
a keeper league.
Today, Junior.
Come on.
You know what? I will go Kevin Knowles. I do like Kevin Knowles. I need a short, scrappy cornerback. Yeah, you did.
Akeem Dent for me, Josh.
Oh, wow. He's surprising me with some of these picks.
I'm going with the all preseason hype team.
What I did last year. Want me to tell you how that worked out? There's no J Trav. All right.
All right, we're at 15. So we have like 8 more picks to go. Come on.
How do you think I'm doing, Josh? How do you think I'm doing?
Rapid fire. You don't have enough.
Well, I mean, we're not done yet.
No, I mean, I think Chris has more game changers on it, not just playmakers, but just game changers in general with guys like Briggs and Lovett and Travis J, not to mention his offensive line is stout. He's going to have guys like Lawrence Toafili and Jayshon Corbin running behind them. Defensive line is strong. He has two of the best linebackers on the team right now, and he has a guy in Akeem Dent that has a lot to prove. So I really like where Chris is sitting right now.
Give me rock solid here. Round out the secondary somewhat. Miko Dotson. Miko Dotson is going to be good this year. I don't know if he'll be great, but he'll be solid.
All right. Your mouth to God's ears. Let's go, Chris. Who you got?
I'm going to go with Shaheem Brown.
Nice. Ooh. We hear so much of him in practice. Wow. Nice pick.
You know,
staying with the trend. All preseason hype.
He is. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to take Jamie Robinson and I'm going to move him to box safety. I'm going to move Kevin Knowles to my slot corner. So I'm going to be running a nickel here exclusively. He's going to need a little bit of time, but he had a really good spring. I think I'm getting great value here. He'll probably end up the season as a starter once he's back on the field.
For a keeper league.
Jerrion Jones, and he could play wide receiver if needed.
Who?
Jerrion Jones.
Where?
What do you mean where? He was an All-State receiver in Mississippi.
How many years ago?
Okay, baby on.
Did you really take 3 DNs too?
Yep.
You're very weird about how you stack positions in a 2-deep draft or a 1-deep draft.
I can kick Kara Thomas inside to 3-tech.
Cool. Good for you. I'll go with Quayshon Fuller because I need a DN.
And he's going to run all over you if you push him inside.
Because they're certainly not going to throw all over me because he doesn't have a quarterback still.
He doesn't need to throw. All right. Who you got? That was a
team's
great
identity is going to be running the ball.
Great pick by Chris. How are you gonna answer?
Let's see. I will go with. I'll go with Bavion Johnson. I am going to need someone to snap the ball at some point.
Oh boy, here we go. This is where it gets interesting for you. Mm-hmm. This is a nice draft board, by the way.
I'm surprised you're executing it to this.
I'll go with Kentron as my third receiver.
Oh.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay. Wow.
Kentron. So that's a nice looking wide receiver room right there. You got Keyshawn Helton, Malik McClain, and Kentron.
Potier.
I don't know if you guys can cover that.
I will go with Cameron McDonald as a flex tight end.
in the I'm taking him at least a year too early selection, Patrick Payton at defensive end.
I like it.
That'll pay off down the road, Chris. Brendan, who you got? Last pick.
It's not the last pick.
Josh's ADD is telling him it is.
You know what? I'll go with Brendan Gant. He's flashed at times this preseason. He can play a couple different spots in the secondary. Moving Jamie to field.
The hype's kind of worn off of Brendan Gant after last season. He had a lot of hype darling. Even in the year before that as well. Like his freshman year and then into last year. And then this year, the hype stopped. Like now you got to prove it before we get hype about you.
He ended the season on a really high note last year. He forced a big fumble against Duke, had an interception. I'm buying him as he's ascending upwards. He's like the clove of
Duke.
He's like clove.
How'd he do against Florida?
We didn't play him last year.
Exactly. That's what Josh is trying to say.
Box checkers, you're up. Who you got?
I'll go Brady Scott to finish up my offensive line.
Oh, that's a toughie.
Overcome that, Brendan.
I'm going to have to move Jordan Wilson to offensive tackle.
I told you. You're done. This is where taking two quarterbacks really comes back to haunt you.
I mean, you know who has looked good the last couple of days? I think he's going to be playing some this year. And I'm doing this just to kind of hope. What, was that a sarcastic coup? To hype up my own pick? I'm going to take Lloyd Willis, put him at left tackle a year early. I need bodies.
All right, what are we thinking here, Chris?
I enjoy Josh's. I'll go Jackson West because I need a tight end.
There you go.
You're born. I love me some Jackson West.
Yeah, you know everything.
He'll finish a block. Give me any man Chris who will finish a block.
Highlight tape. Who you got, Brendan? This is your 21st pick of the draft.
Oh, we're almost done.
Yeah, we're getting down to it here.
But you think Chris has a better team than me right now?
So far.
All right. Death blow to Chris. Shelby Purdy. Take that.
I'm going to take Tate just so that idiot over there can take four quarterbacks.
Would you take Tate Rodemaker over some of the walk-ons?
I mean,
having seen what you've seen, just outright.
I've said it many a time. Tate makes some of the best vertical passes you're going to ever see.
All right. So you're either I worry about when the bullets
are flying. I worry greatly about him. You know, though, Geno English does a good job in practice, and he does deserve a little love. But I'm not drafting him.
Okay.
He might.
Brendan, I'm 22. Not.
I will go with Stephen Dix Jr., value pick. Oh, wait, can I change my pick?
Nope.
Damn
it. Linebacker Emmett Rice.
Damn it, that's who I was going to – that's ridiculous. I didn't take my finger off the board.
And in this world, he's not injured, so that's a healthy enterprise. Okay,
that's great, too.
All right, 23.
I need a running back, I suppose, at some point, huh?
Do you go Deontay Sheffield?
No. I didn't mean to say that so quickly. I'm going to go with the king of the spring, Trayshawn Ward.
Okay.
Keeps on impressing me. He's going to be solid this year.
He is the king of the spring. Chris, 23 to you.
Jarquez McClellan, little veteran defensive back there.
It's a good pick.
It's a head scratcher.
No, it's a safety. He'll be fine for Chris.
There's a bunch of L's.
It's my insurance in case Akeem Dent doesn't work out.
It's going to work out. I can promise you that. All right, Brendan, last pick of the draft for you. I'm sure you're going to overthink it.
The last one for me?
Yep.
Oh, God. I need to fill out my offensive line. I don't love my options here. I guess I'll go with Zane Herring since he's the only – since probably Thomas Schrader won't be available for a little while this season. Damn.
You could go Rod Orr.
I'm going to go Zane Herring. I need interior offensive line.
Zane Herring to be paired with Lloyd Willis on your offensive line. Good luck to you guys. Good thing you took three quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Now I understand why.
Well, since I have a void, since I only have one quarterback on my team, because that guy. I'll go with Darian Williamson.
Ah, that's a good pick.
That is a great pick. I think Chris wins. All right. Great job, guys. All right, let's take a look at this.
This is such a mess. I'll trade you Mackenzie Milton for
You need right? offensive linemen.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's what I'm thinking here.
You're gonna have to make him an offer of like Mackenzie Milton and like a Marcus Cushney.
I'll trade you Mackenzie Milton and Lloyd Willis for Darius Washington and Darian Williamson.
No.
I wouldn't do it. All right. That's it. I'm looking at this thing up and down the rosters. I really, really think that Brendan, I don't think you did a good job of addressing needs, whereas Chris kind of played his game. He stayed patient. He's a strong, powerful running team that has built its defense around its defensive line and linebackers. You're going to see Chris become a more physical presence as the season goes on, whereas Brendan is going to probably do the opposite and kind of fall apart because of his offensive line. So if we're grading the 2021 draft, I got Chris with an A-, and a Sinone with a solid C. All right, that's a wrap on that, fellas.
C's get degrees.
Glad we could participate once again.
I don't think we should do this next year. I think this should be the last year we do this.
I think you should just auto-draft your
team. I think we should have strict rules next time we do it. About certain jackasses can't draft three quarterbacks.
All right, next year we'll have position slots. You can only fill the slots until they're gone. So, like, there's one quarterback per roster next year. I'm gonna. That's on the commissioner.
Yeah, that's on the commissioner. You allowed this chaos to happen, Josh. This is your fault.
Okay. He trusted you.
I want you guys, the listeners, the viewers, for those of you on our YouTube stream, you guys are included in this. I want you guys to go to iTunes and vote on whether you think Chris's team is the team to beat or Brendan's. Go to our iTunes, leave a message with a 5-star review, and I'll read them on the podcast next week. All right, before we get out of here, just a reminder, FSU goes back to a true game week schedule next week. What exactly does that look like, Chris?
Well, most weeks it will be a Monday press conference. Next week will be Tuesday because the game's Sunday, not Saturday. And then practice throughout the week, off the day before, obviously. But week will begin with a press conference every week on their off day. Monday is their normal off day in a normal week. Next week, I presume Tuesday will be. We actually don't yet have the schedule for next week, so I don't want to latch myself in entirely. But in normal game week, first day off, practice throughout the week. We get access, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday in a normal week. Excuse me. Friday off, Saturday game day.
All right. That's it. That's all we got for this week. Thank you for listening to On the Bench. Back soon.
Josh.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.